All right, so first of all, Shkayach and Mazel Tov to the whole Fridis family for sponsoring the breakfast this morning, Bez Hashem. It should be a schuss for Shlomo, for the whole Mishpacha, for the whole Kila, and all of Klal Yisrael, Bez Hashem. Okay, so we're continuing on in our Hachanas for the story of Devaira and that part of Sefer Shoftim. So even though it says on top number two, it's really number three. It was in my mistake. So there's the third final part of sort of the introduction to the story. So what we left off last week was basically a kasha, was a stira. What we had was as follows. 2 weeks ago, we learned in Halacha and in Pnimius how it would seem that Noshim are more removed from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. They're potter from Talmud Torah. And specifically within Talmud Torah, Torah Shebaal Peh, they're very much removed from Kamalamid, Isbitai Torah, Iskilam Lam, the Tiflus. They're very removed from Talmud Torah and Befrat Torah Shebaal Peh. That's what we saw by Riches 2 weeks ago. Last week, we saw, on the other hand, a bunch of Marmar Kaimis to indicate that Alpi Pnimius, no, it's not true. Fakert. The whole Inyan of Torah, and specifically Torah Shebaal Peh, is the Inyan of Nashim. And we saw this by Riches with Reb Tzadik, the Maisa with Sisra, that Sisra, this whole story of Devaira is really about unleashing and freeing the soul of Rabbi Akiva, which is a pillar of Torah Shebaal Peh, and therefore it's revolving around an Isha of Devaira, even Rabbi Akiva's life. Also, he's brought the Torah through his wife, through Rachel. The whole line of Torah Shebaal Peh is more Shaykh to an Isha. Torah Shebaal Peh is Zohar, Torah Shebaal Peh is Nekeva. So this was the steer that we left off with. How could it be that the whole line of Torah Shebaal Peh is Shaykh to Noshim, and Torah Shebaal Peh specifically taken, Noshim are distanced from. So how could it be that you're distanced from something that's Mamish Iranian? That was the steer that we left off at the end. Okay, so whenever you have a contradiction like that, and there's sort of no wiggle room, like they both have to be true, you know. So that screams Rav Tzadik, that screams Ishvitza, that screams like that. So that's what we're going to learn today. So usually I use font 14, right? But this is a larger piece, so I had to make it font 13. So that's why it's a smaller word. It's one marmalka. This is not the whole piece, by the way. This is a selection of the piece, and even within the selection, I cut out a bunch of stuff. But it's a long arichas from Tzadik, but it's mamish a gevaldige. It's a beautiful piece, and there's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of teichen over here, so we're going to try to do the best we can to get through it. But it's a lot of yusaitis to gezachen. All right, so this is from Resisi Laila Oist Nun Beis. Okay, Eistun Beis and Resisi Laila. So he says like this. Rav Tzadik is talking about the subject of this piece is really talking about the Inyan of Purim. That's really what the piece is about Purim. And what he's talking about is understanding the Amalek with the other 70 nations, right? So we know that the Pasuk says about Amalek, the Reish is Gaim Amalek. Amalek is considered to be the root, the beginning of all the Umas Olam is Amalek. And so the Umas Olam, every nation corresponds to a certain Yetzara, a certain opposing force to Kedusha. And so you have many opposing forces. You have 69 opposing forces to Kedusha. But then you have this Kayach of Amalek, which is Reishis Gaim Amalek, the Nekuda Pnimis, so to speak, of the opposition to Kedusha is Amalek. So Rav Tzadik is sort of framing this in the following way. And the way Rav Tzadik presents it is that what you have is the opposition that you have is between Amalek and all the 70 nations versus Kedusha, and Kedusha is going to be represented by Torah. Torah is Kedusha. So just like this way the model that Rav Tzadik is using, just like when it comes to the other side, you have the Iker, you have the root, which is called Amalek, and all of the branches, which are the other nations. So too, in the opposing force to that, in Kedusha, there's going to be something that's called the essence of Torah, the root of Torah, parallel to Amalek, and the branches of Torah. That corresponds to all the other 70 nations. So that's the model that he's coming from, so as you'll see. So he says like this, Ki leitzonis hu ahepach midivri Torah. So he says that you have the two oppositions that Tzadik presents is you have Torah, and the opposite of that is Leitzanis. Leitzanis in the language of Rav Tzadik means that which is shallow, that which is superficial, that which is not real. That's what Leitzanis means. By Ishbitza, when he uses that word, that's what Leitzanis means. So that's a klipa. Ki Leitzanis hu habach midivri Torah, d'chsiv ba emes, because Torah is emes. Emes means real, it means inner content, it means something that's weighty. Leitzanis is the opposite of that. Shezek kol inin ha-Torah. That's what Torah is. Hamelamedes la'adam derech Hashem, that teaches a person the path of Hashem. Hainu, shekol prote inyonav umaisav machshavaisav. Torah means, and Torah guides a person, that every experience a person has, every action they do, every thought you have, should have toichen to it. It should have content. It should have meaning. Yakol sfas emes. It should be an experience of truth. Asher tikun lod, which is then forever. So Torah means emes. Torah means emes. V'leitzanis u'habich me'emes. Leitzanis means shallowness. It means frivolousness. It means the opposite of truth. Shekol ma'isav machshavosav al kol lefonim. That all the action in the other camp, it's everything that's done and experienced is just skin deep. It's shallow. It's superficial. Okay. So these are the two camps. Again, you have truth versus not truth. That's pretty much what you have. And every nation, this infrastructure that's called nothingness, that's called the leitzanis, that's called the opposite of truth, the opposite of content, is divided amongst all the 70 nations. Every nation has a certain, piece of it. As a certain piece of it, she'etzla oisa koyach shleitzanis, that its root, its life, so to speak, its neshama, the nation's neshama, is that aspect of this infrastructure that's called the other side, that's called leitzanis. The neged ze yesh koyach b'divrei Torah, and that's what he said. And corresponding to that, there's a piece of Torah that is sort of the anti that particular nation. She'kasher nichnasa lolev, and when this. Let's say one particular aspect of Torah enters into the heart, right? For an individual, but on a collective level, Shemes Bashetes, Beklal Uma Yisraelis, Shehem Lev Ha'olam. When the Jewish people, the heart of the world, sort of expresses and captures and is oimed on this particular aspect of Torah, Az Yoytzei Negdoi Oysakoyach Shalatzan Shav Ha'olam, then it repels that its parallel piece of Leitzanis, so to speak, from the world. Veneva Koich Oysahu Uma. And that power of that particular nation is now lost. Sha'ofia Shalomimenu, whose strength and whose identity was coming from that Nakuda. So that's the parallel. The more Divrei Torah is revealed in the world and in Knesset Yisrael, the more that dispels its parallel in the 70 nations. And that's that Rav Tzadik talks about this many places. That's the nature of Golus. As we travel from country to country, so somehow, in some way, subconsciously, the Jewish people sort of pick up on the aspect of Torah that is the opposite of that nation. We incorporate into our Avodas Hashem, we develop it, we print Svarim about it, you know what I mean? And at some point, when we completely capture that Inyan in Kedushin, in Torah, then that nation begins to fall apart. And all of a sudden, they become more anti-Semitic, and they blame us for all their problems, because it's true to a certain degree, because we're taking their chiyus away, and that there's truth to that. And so then we move on to the next country. That's the model. That's what Golus says. Now that's true with all 70 nations and all Divrei Torah. V'amolek shu ha'reishis shalahem, but Amolek, which is the reishis, right? So who neged oymek reishis shebetorah? So Amolek also is part of the system, but Amolek is the reishis of the Goyim, and therefore they correspond, they parallel, they're the anti reishis and root and essence and essential point of Torah itself. V'hu shar hanun. Which we mentioned many times, that in if you divide Torah into the Chazal, the Gemara says that Torah was, Chachma of Hashem is in 50, right? This Nun Shari Bina, 50 gates of understanding. Mem Tes, how this breaks down, without going into the details of how you get to Mem, what the number 50 is significant, but the point is Mem Tes corresponds to sort of the branches, right? So you have the branches of Torah. The branches of Torah correspond to the branches of the nations. But then you have the essence of Torah, which parallels Amolek. The essence of Torah is called the Shar Hanun, the 50th gate. And so Amolek is anti the 50th gate. Now he explains. Vu Shar Hanun, now this 50th gate, Shenela mi Moshe Rabbeinu. Now this is a big arichas, we spoke about this many times, that Moshe Rabbeinu, from the commander writes this, that Moshe Rabbeinu personally experienced and accessed the Shar Hanun, but he was not allowed to reveal it consciously. So it remains sort of a subconscious truth. Shalinas Galba, the 50th gate has not been revealed in the world. Valkain. Tchilas Amolek, Haivim Moshe Rabbeinu. Therefore, the beginning of our conflict with Amolek was during the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. And he says an amazing thing. Shakola Umais, Yergazun, V'chayel, Achazasam. We know all the nations by Kriyas Yamsef and so on, and they're all terrified. All the nations are now terrified of Klal Yisrael by Yitzis Mitzrayim, by Kriyas Yamsuf, except for Amal, right? Amal jumps into the boiling bath, right? That's the famous marshal from Chazal, Rashi. So what's Pshat? So when we think of, as a kid, we're thinking of, because Amalek were just really bad. They were just really bad, and every other nation was scared, but Amalek is chutzpahdik, and they're not scared. Says it's like it's deeper than that. Kriyas Yam, it was whatever we were going to acquire at Har Sinai, which is Torah, was first sort of tasted and introduced to the world by Yitzis Mitzrayim. Yitzis Mitzrayim, Pesach, leads to Shavuos. What Torah was revealed to the world by Har Sinai? Only the 49 gates of Bina. So the only nations that are therefore going to be intimidated and sort of put in their place by the awakening of Matan Torah, which begins with Yitzis Mitzrayim, are the other 70 nations that parallel and are the opposing forces to the 49 gates of Torah. But the 50th gate of Torah, which was not going to be revealed in Har Sinai in an open way, which corresponds to Amalek, so therefore it's not a coincidence that Amalek is not intimidated by Klal Yisrael, because the force against Amalek, which is the Shaar HaNun, was not revealed. So they don't see anything that opposes them. They don't have any intimidation because of that. So he says every other nation they're captured, but they're caught by fear. Why would they kedushas atayra? Because of the holiness of Torah Shabbat, Ma'isha Veridil Oretz. And Ma'isha Benu brings down by Har Sinai and begins to sort of bring to the world the Oretz of that by Pesach. V'nizgala bo'aylam davar hamachrev kol kachaseyem. And the Torah, which is the thing, the force that's going to destroy their kaiches, is now brought to the world, so therefore they're intimidated by that. But chutz me'amalek, but that's all true for the 70 nations except for Amalek. Shabav ha'kofat sotaycham bati haritachas. They jump into the boiling bath, right? Sha'af api sharasich ha'isa gam negdai. So he says, Rav is asking, why would they do such a thing? Like in the mashal, right? The mashal is the guy jumps into the hot bath and becomes scolded by it. But at least he cools it down for everyone else. What type of mishigana? So why talk is he jumping in? So he says the answer is Amalek becomes scolded. Why? Because at the end of the day, Amalek is the beginning of all 70 nations. So whatever is going to, like if you have a tree, right, and you cut off its branches, it's a chasaron in the tree, but the tree still exists, right? So it's like Amalek is not concerned about this bath as far as affecting the essence of the tree, because the Shaar HaNun of Torah has not been revealed. What it will do is it'll kill all the branches. Okay, and Amalek was willing to do that because at least it doesn't affect it, right? So he says that's the idea. All the other nations are extensions, are branches off of this tree that's called Amalek. And the opposing force of Torah that was beginning to be revealed in the world, which takes down the branches, again, is the 49 levels of Torah. Mikol Malkim Neged Sharsha Befrat, but the specific aspect of Amalek, which is a tree itself, the root of all the klipa, Loinas Gal Divrei Torah by Lamaza, that level of Torah was not revealed in the world. Again, Kimikol Uma Ha'umais. So he says like this: Kimikol Umas Yesh Eza Klita Latoiv, V'Hainu Shiyesh B'Kol Koyach Hara Gamkin Eza Prashav Hamotoiv. So he says like this. Okay, I'll tell you outside a little bit, and then I'll explain inside. Why? What's Takip Shat? Why couldn't the Shaar HaNun be revealed? So this is like really in parentheses now. So this is not the main point, but it's just an interesting, very Rav Tzadikian way of thinking. What's Takip Shat? So he says like this. In order to the process, it says something like this. In order for the process is as follows. So you have an aspect of Torah being revealed, which parallels an aspect of Leitzanis, right? An aspect of the other side. So as the idea is that everything that if it would be revealed, whatever Hashem made clearly has some positivity to it, right? So says Rav Tzadik, what's the ability for us to find the spark of Kedusha in a particular nation, which is its parallel aspect of Torah, comes from a deep subconscious recognition that this nation is created by Hashem. If something were to exist chas v'shalom not from Hashem, then maybe it's pure evil, and maybe it doesn't have any saving redeeming features. the fact that the Jewish people could go to a country, right? You go to France, you go to England, you go to whatever it is, and we can subconsciously go in the avoda of finding the aspect of Torah that parallels this nation comes from a deep recognition that this nation was also created by Hashem. And if it's created by Hashem, it means there's some redeeming quality to it. It says Ratzadik, that is okay to, that process is manageable when you're dealing with all the branches. But if, to allow us to find the spark, even within Amalek, then that would require the following deep revelation, which is that evil itself is created by Hashem. Now, if that were to be revealed while evil still is functioning, then that would be terribly dangerous, because then the person will be tempted to actually involve himself with evil, knowing deep down that this is also created by Hashem. So there's this strange tug of war that has to happen, which is, in order to redeem a spark from amongst the klipa, then there has to be a deep recognition that even this whole scenario is created by Hashem. Therefore, there's some redeeming quality to it. That's manageable when you're dealing with branches. But if that truth were to be revealed in the root of the problem itself, in the belly of the beast itself, which is Amalek, then that will be counterproductive, because it would be then giving so much strength to the other side, paradoxically, it would be giving strength to the other side and tempting the Jewish people to fall into it. That's why until ultimately all the branches are removed and there's no actual concern of falling into an actual sin, so then you could, then the spark of Amalek can be revealed and it can be shown that Amalek itself was also created by Hashem, because there's no concern of any fallout. But as long as the 70 nations are around, right, and as long as there's a possibility of touching Muksa, as long as there's a possibility of saying Lashon Hara, then if it were to be revealed, even on a subconscious level, that evil itself, which is Amalek, is also created by Hashem, thus giving it some redeeming quality, redeeming features, then even though it would seem that would be good, because then we could sort of reveal the Shar Hanun of Torah, which would be the parallel spark in Amalek, but then at the same time, there will be such a temptation to speak Lashon Hara and to be Michal Shabbos, because all of evil will be reinvigorated by that truth, which is that it's created by Hashem. So we have to first remove all the other Yetzaharas, break down all the other branches, conquer the reveal in full, all the Memtes, Sharibina, thus eradicating all actual possibility of sin, so to speak, and all tendency of sin, and then you can deal with the root. And then when it's revealed that the root itself is created by Hashem, there's no limbs, it doesn't have any practical expression, there's no concern of it falling into, this is what the Pasuk says. When is there a mitzvah of Mechiyas Amalek? It says in Pasuk, V'hoya kasher niach Hashem lekecha yischa mikol amim asher siv yaseichem. When you are at peace from all the other nations, then you attack Amalek. Why? Why does it have to be first peaceful with other nations? The answer is because that's the model. First, you have to get rid of all the limbs and all the tentacles of the other side, and then you could engage with the head itself. Because if you engage with the head itself while there's some tentacles, then the tentacles they're going to be reinforced by that engagement, and will become counterproductive.
If any child knows that the something's created by a country,
exactly, it'll backfire.
We have that knowledge, but we're not supposed to act on it.
By Rav Tzadik, when we say knowledge, there's cerebral knowledge, which you can know a lot of things, but it's in the heart. Like Rav Tzadik says, when it comes to tzitzis, right? So it says in Pasuk, you read tzitzis, l'man tizkru, v'asis mes kol mitzvah, in order to remember the mitzvahs. So the Gemara says the famous Maisa, that there was a Yid, that he was traveling to a Zayna, whatever it is, and he was going to do it, and the tzitzis smacked him in the face, And he was Aymer, he held himself back. So the Gemara says, oh, that was that. That's what the Pasuk means, Laman Tizkru. So it says, Ratzadik, once the Tzid forgot that it's an Aveira. And all of a sudden, the Tzid says, Ramah, oh, Tacha, it's a Simen and Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to do this. The answer is, of course he knew, but he didn't know in his heart. So that's what it means to know something, as it means to remember something. So a person can know intellectually that everything is from Hashem, and even the Sitra Achra is created by Hashem. But until Hashem won't allow that truth to really be known in the heart, because until the tentacles are removed, right? Because if you know that in the heart, and there's still even one tentacle around, then that's what's gonna, it's gonna chop you. So what Hashem does is that He stops that truth from entering into the heart until all the tentacles are removed, all the other 70 nations are taken care of, and then you can engage with Amalek itself. Because otherwise it'll be too difficult. That's what He says over here. Okay, so fine. That was in parentheses. But let's go back again. So we have this model. You have the 49 gates of Torah, all the branches of Torah, the tentacles of Torah. Tentacles is not necessarily, we use branches for the Torah, we use tentacles for the other side, okay? So you have the branches of Torah, which parallel and are the anti-tentacles of the other side, okay? That's what's going on over here. But the Shar HaNun, the essence of Torah, right, the Shar HaNun, which parallels the essence of the other side, which is Amalek, that hasn't been revealed in the world yet. So now Ritzalik says, but so what is that essence of the other side? And Memela, and what's the essence of Torah? But at least identify. We might not be able to, you know, to bring it all out until the time is right for it. But at least identify in Seichel, what is it? So the Pasuk says, what does the Pasuk say? Amalek came, Asher Karcha Baderach, right? And chanced upon us in the way. What does Chazal say? Karcha is a lashon of what? Kriras, of coldness. So it says something like this. What is the 50th gate of Klipa, right? So what's the 50th gate? You have the 50th gate of Kedusha, right? The 50th gate of Klipa. What's the 50th gate of Klipa? So it says, Ratzalik, Vamar Asher Karcha, Shehikri Racha, Shehikricha, he cooled you down. Hainu, Shehavi Kriras Verifyon Belev. Says Ratzalik, the essence of Amalek, which is the anti-50th gate of Kedusha, is the reality of not being, of being cold, of being weak, of not having, of being unmotivated. The mitzias, see, every other tentacle is, a person falls into lashon hara, a person falls into this. These are all details, but where is it all coming from? What it's all coming from is a person who's not on fire with avodas Hashem. So the mitzias of not being on fire, that's the Shar HaNun, that's Amalek. That's Amalek. So he explains. It cools the heart down from wanting, from searching. From putting in that effort. To reach Hashem, to understand. This, and it's parallel, this is what the Shar HaNun is. That what? Hainu? There's the root of wisdom, which is the Shar HaNun. Where when it's revealed, It anchors itself in the heart. Actually, mitzias l'rifyon klal. So here's the amazing thing: what is the anti Shar HaNun? The anti Shar HaNun is a person who's blah, who doesn't have any motivation, who's not on fire, who's the embodiment of coldness. What is the Shar HaNun? So what are the tentacles of the Shar HaNun? The tentacles of the Shar HaNun is Shas and Poiskim and Rukvegers and Rukhayim and Pnimius HaTorah and Medrash and all of Torah. That's all the branches. What is the essence? The essence is a yid that's on fire that wants all of that. That's the Shar HaNun. The Shar HaNun is someone that is a mevakesh. That's someone that wants. It's someone that's on fire to experience all of Torah. So the actual Torah itself, that, see, this is the chiddush of Rav Tzadik. You hear what's going on over here. Rav Tzadik is identifying that you would think that what's the Shar HaNun? If all the branches of Torah is all these complicated pieces of information of Shas and Poiskim and Tanakh and Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh, Pnimis, it's all that. So can you imagine what's the Shar HaNun? The Shar HaNun is so much more information. No, says that's not the Shar HaNun. The Shar HaNun is the heart that wants all of that. That's what the Shar HaNun is. And the opposite is in Klipa. What's the opposite in Klipa? A guy that's falling into Lashon Hara, that's falling into Kinnah, Tayv, and Kavod. But those are all the tentacles. What's the essence? The essence is a guy that doesn't have fire. That's the Shar HaNun. So the parallel in Kedusha is like that. The Shar HaNun in Kedusha is the Mavakesh Hashem, is the one that's searching for Hashem. What is it that they're looking for? And how does that, but it's deeper than that. Ultimately, from the perspective of the Shar HaNun, then all the 49 sub-levels are really just trying to give language to that search. So it's not even like he's looking for the Reb Chaim, he's looking for the Reb Kveger, or he's looking for the Arizal. He's looking for God, and he does. How does his search for Hashem express itself? It expresses itself by him learning Reb Chaim, and learning the Arizal, and learning Mishneh Berurah, and learning Pasuk in Chomesh, and Davening Avodas Hashem. But those are all really trying, those are all packages to express the Shar HaNun, which is just the search itself. That's the parallel. So he says like this. As we said before, the full revelation of the Shaar HaNun is impossible as long as there's the opposing force of Amalek. Because Amalek means, that's what the mashal of Chazal, when the guy jumps into the boiling bath and cools it down, that's exactly what Amalek is. Amalek is the cooling down of the bath. It's not the pshat that it's a mashal that fits, you know, because it's trying to describe someone who's like doing something damaging himself. But that is the inyan. The inyan is to cool down the bath. That's the inyan of a Amalek. Shehu mitzias harifim v'akirur. So as long as there's this mitzias this is the talks about this in other places too. The mystery of a Amalek is this strange thing of there being an actual reality of nothingness. Right? Because if you think about it, what does it mean to be cool and to be uninspired? Nothing. Like, inspiration is something. Fire is something. What's the opposite of that? Nothing. Boredom. Those are words, but what is it? It's nothing. It's an emptiness, right? So there's words to describe it, but what is it is nothing. But yet Amalek has mitzias. So it's like a mitzias of kriyas, right? Reishis Gaim Amalek. Now again, Achrisa de Oyved. So it's like a mitzias of nothingness. It's a mitzias of nothingness. So this is, so as long as there's that mitzias of nothingness in the world, then that is going to be blocking the full expression of the bikush, which is the Shaar HaNun. So he says like this: Umitzad Oylam Haza Tzorich Liyoske. Now this is the irony, and this is where Hashem blocks this reality from entering into the heart. In this world, for whatever reason, it seems that there needs to be some force of cooling things down. Al derech, because the Gemara says in Gidden, and this is a classic, this is one of Reb Tzadik's like famous favorite Gemaras. The Gemara says in Gidden, "Ein adam oymid al divrei Torah elam kein nichshol." That a person truly only conquers Torah as if they made a mistake in that inyan first. So, in order to ever experience Torah, there has to be like a feeling of discovering it. So therefore, there has to be some cooling down and then coming back on fire. You know, and that's the moment of catching on fire. That's, for whatever reason, a necessary aspect of Avodas Hashem in this world right now.
So you have to have a kriyas and then a catch?
Right. So for some reason, we would think that the inyan would just be to remain on fire. But for whatever reason, the Ribbono Shel Olam established the rules of engagement that in this world, there's also a necessary part of Avodas Hashem, which is to catch fire. That initial moment of moving from coldness into enthusiasm. That moment is also a significant piece in Avodas Hashem, which therefore requires the phenomenon of coldness. So there's a strange tug of war, which is that until all the tentacles are removed, then that mitzias of Amalek, not only are we not able to engage with it, because to engage with it would be to recognize that it's created by Hashem, and then that would sort of invigorate the remaining tentacles. But deeper than that, for whatever reason, it's actually necessary. Kriyas is somewhat necessary now to constantly, like Rav Nachman has a Torah that there's an avoid of constantly restarting oneself. Well, to restart oneself, it means that you have to sort of,
Kriyas.
Huh?
Isn't that another world just for struggle?
No, because even if a person is not struggling with something, Rav Nachman recommended restarting even for people that are not struggling with anything. But the inyan of restarting. There's an inyan of constantly seeing oneself.
We always struggle. Our whole life we're struggling.
Yeah, I'm saying even someone that's not struggling with a particular Yetzirah or whatever, but even a tzaddik has to reinvent themselves constantly. The Yira Kaddish, right? He's called the Yira Kaddish because he said every single day he started new. So there is an inyan like that. But again, this is classic Tzaddik. He's throwing, he's saying a Torah, and then in the middle he throws wrenches in it. But that's part of the deal. So like the whole Amalek is a klip. We have to get rid of it. It's the Shaar HaNun. The Shaar HaNun means coldness. It means unenthusiasm. It means boredom. It means the opposite of the Shaar HaNun of Kedusha. By the way, you kind of need it still nowadays. Okay, but then he continues. That's how he does. So he says, "V'shev yipol tzaddik v'kam." So "shev yipol tzaddik v'kam" doesn't mean that if you happen to fall seven times, then eventually a chizik is to get up. You have to fall. There's an avoda falling. Bakim ratzav, bakim shayv, Rav Nachman, right? Shanafil tzarach hakima. Falling is necessary in order to get up. Now, the reason why Hashem made the system in such a way that until Mashiach comes, there's this need that part of the Avodas Hashem is to catch fire, is this inyan of getting up, of the Shayyah Kain Davka. That's the secrets of the universe. That only God knows why He made the system like that. Even to Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah, that's his brought down his farm. That's the necessary component of Amalek. To allow Amalek, you thought of that, or you said that's it says in his farm such a thing. So that's the kayach of Amalek to allow that mitzias of Shev Yipol Tzadik V'kam. So he says again, ki kol zman sheish mitzias l'ra, going back to what he said before, as long as there's the mitzias of actual ra, in other words, of all the tentacles, im yor Hashem yisbarach einayim, if our eyes would be illuminated with the truth, ladas shorish mitzias. So here's the irony: we actually need Amalek nowadays, because part of our avodas Hashem is sheva yipol tzadik v'kam, and you only truly conquer an aspect of Yiddishkeit if you made a mistake in it first, as if you catch fire in the inyan. So there is this need of Amalek in the world. Now, if we were to understand why, then that would be, that would be our way of being able to isolate the spark of Amalek. If we're able to understand why, because then we could do it with precision. We do it with precision. But says Ratzalik, but here's the irony. If we were to know that deep truth in the heart, that Amalek is also created by Hashem, if any of the tentacles are still around, it would be too dangerous. So despite the fact that in order to truly eradicate Amalek, the only way to eradicate it would be to understand deeply how even Amalek is part of Avodas Hashem, and even coldness is also fire, right? Because that's really the truth. If Avodas Hashem is something, Avodas Hashem is a mitzias. Avodas Hashem is something. If part of that mitzias requires a feeling of coldness, then that's not cold, that's fire. You understand? If part of if you knew that part of going closer to Hashem, like Rav Nachman says, right? One time Rav Nachman says that the experience, that when a person first begins to come close to Hashem, the first experience is being at a distance. So the feeling is you're far away, and now you have to come close. But if you were to know in the deepest of senses that that's what it means to come close, is to feel far, then you would really, it's not far, that's part of becoming close. So if it were to become deeply understood to the neshama, bamis, that coldness is part of the process in Avodas Hashem, then that's not cold. That itself would be Mechias Amalek. But the problem is, if that recognition, if we were to have that deep recognition that coldness is also part of Avodas Hashem, then it would be too dangerous, because at that moment, at the same time that it would become clear to us Amalek's place in Avodas Hashem, it would also reinvigorate Amalek. Because the more something is attached to Hashem, the more something is powered by that. So, you understand what I'm saying? So there's this strain again. That's why the great mystery of all, which is how does Amalek exist? Where does evil come from? How is there a reality of nothingness in the world, the empty space? How is it possible? It can't be known to us until you get rid of all the tentacles. Once you get rid of all the tentacles, then it could become clear to us why coldness is necessary in Avodas Hashem. And then it'll become clear how coldness is part of Avodas Hashem. And then it'll become clear that it's not cold at all. And there's no such thing as coldness. And that's Mechias Amalek. But as long as there's tentacles around, then until you get to that final step, if there's at all any sense of empowerment to Amalek by us realizing that it's part of the system that Hashem made, then those tentacles are going to be too dangerous to deal with. Only when it fully is developed. But in the beginning, that's the problem. Once that light begins to penetrate the heart, but it's not fully ripened, that's the most dangerous point. He gives an example of this.
Waiting till the end of the rest of the bar waiting until before Mashiach comes, the fire and ice not being mysterious.
Yeah, right, very good. So the final bar, it comes, very good, very good. So he gives an example of this. He says like this, the last line on the second paragraph, K'may Shehoi B'Dor HaMabul. This is exactly what happened by the Dor HaMabul. Sh'amr Chazal say, what was the problem with the Dor HaMabul? Their downfall was, She'atim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Me'en Olam Haba. Chazal say that the reason why the generation of the flood went so crazy is because Hashem gave them a taste of Olam Haba in this world. What does that mean? So the simple pshat is they had too much gashmis. They had too much gashmis. In other words, they had too much, they lived hundreds of years, too much gashmis. So they went off the derech. First of all, he says, not so many, Me'en Olam Haba. So let the Gemara say, too much gashmis. Chazal say that Hashem gave them a taste of Olam Haba. What's Olam Haba? Olam Haba is the recognition that everything is elikus, including evil itself. But they didn't have the full picture of Olam Haba, they had tasted it. Once you have a taste of Olam Haba, but not the fully developed version of it, then it corrupts. Then those tentacles are reinvigorated, and you couldn't stop them from doing any avers because the Yetzer was so powerful because it was fueled by a deep recognition that this is also part of Hashem's world, and once it's part of Hashem's world, it's full of life, and all of a sudden that emptiness, that coldness, is now fueled by fire. So it's like. So the ultimate tikkun is to recognize that coldness is not coldness; it's fire, but it actually becomes fire, and there's no coldness anymore. But in the beginning, it's still cold, but it's fueled by the energy of the fire. You understand? So it becomes counterproductive. Okay.
This is
the concern, but this is only again. But the ultimate concern is this secret, because this is the site. This is the ultimate site of Einam Levada. Einam Levada, including even the empty space. When that truth penetrates the heart, unless a person eradicated all the other tentacles, it's extremely dangerous, and Hashem won't ever let that happen. The only time was by the generation of the Mabul, and it was counterproductive. But this was all again. That's sort of tzaddik, but it's all in parentheses again. But let's go back. What we have is this model. You have the essence of Torah, which is fire, which is a bikush, wanting elukus, being mevakish Hashem. And then you have the branches. What are the branches? Torah and Avayda. But all that Torah Avayda is fueled by the Shaar Nun, and it's to give expression to the Shaar Nun. What's the parallel? Parallel that is, you have all the tentacles of the klipa. You have Lashon Hara, Gilui Raya, Shvichas Damim. You have all the Averis, all the Yetzaras, all fueled from what? From a kriyus, from an emptiness, from just a passivity of just not being inspired, not being on fire. And you have Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu brings to the world and reveals to the world the Memtesh Shari Bina. That could deal with the other 70 nations, but the Shaar Nun has not been revealed yet. That remains private to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now he says like this, Valkein ha-melchama neged Amalek, therefore the war against Amalek, lo-hoi ha-ide Moshe Rabbeinu. It was not through Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't fight. Moshe Rabbeinu remained on the mountain, right?
Sure.
You would think Moshe Rabbeinu is the Chacham. He's the Talmud Chacham. All nations are anti-Torah. So you would think of all people to go fight, it would be Moshe. But he says like this, V'sharish ha-Torah shemitzidah nitzuch kolum avaloshen, and Torah is the root in which we overcome all the nations. So why would Moshe not fight? The answer is chutz mi'amalek. The answer is because all of Torah was revealed, was coming into the world by Har Sinai, that's anti all the other nations except for Amalek. Shashar shekinegda b'divrei Torah, because its parallel Shar, which is the Shaar Nun, is nelam by Lamaza, is concealed in the world. So Moshe Rabbeinu therefore can't fight because the Shaar Nun, which is the real antidote, he didn't reveal. So who does go fight? Yeshua ben Nun. Well, my Yeshua ben Nun could do it. If Moshe can't do, why could Yeshua ben Nun? So listen to Rav Tzaddik's brilliance. He says like this, Futzrich Yeshua Mesharasai. Why did Yeshua ben Nun take over the leadership after Moshe? He was the biggest Talmud Chacham. No. Maybe he was, but Chazal said that's not why. Chazal said because he was Meshamesh Moshe. He was Mesader Safsalim. After the Shir, he put the Svarim away, he put up the benches, he prepared for the next Shir. He was the Meshamesh. Says the Gemara, Chazal say that in that Tzchus, Yeshua ben Nun was chosen as the next leader. Why is that such a Maila? So he says like this. Hutzuch Yeshua ben Sharasai Shai Mesader Sasalim. Yeshua ben Nun is arranging the base medrash for the next year. It's a mistake. I don't know what the word is. Ledivri Torah. So he Mishamish l'divrei Torah. Mishamish, he's preparing for a divrei Torah. Now, v'omer Chazal, Chazal say, G'doy l'shimusha yosem ilimuda. That being Mishamish, a Talmud Chacham, and being Shimusha shel Torah is greater than actually learning. Why? So on the simplest of levels, Shimusha shel Torah, Shimush is greater than learning because Shimush means you learn halacha l'maisa. You can learn about the Hilchas at this time all you want, but when you actually see a Talmud Chacham wash his hands, you can figure out how to do it. But that's not how Klal Yisrael took it. Klal Yisrael takes Shemusha Yatzimiluda means to be Meshamish Talmud Chacham, to drive him around. Like that's, you know, there's someone I know that he was driving us through Rosh Hashiva, and he picked him up from the airport, and this person is a Rav. So the Rosh Hashiva got in the car. He said, "Why are you wasting your time driving me around?" So he had said, "Gadol Shemusha Yatzimiluda." He said, "That's not the pshat. Gadol Shemusha Yatzimiluda means that if you to learn halacha lemaisa, you're Meshamish Talmud Chacham to figure out halacha lemaisa. But you're not, when you drive me around, you're not learning anything halacha lemaisa from it." Technically, the Rosh Hashiva was right in the simple pshat in the Gemara, but that's not how Klal Yisrael take it. Klal Yisrael take it as the Rav did, which is driving around the Rosh Hashiva, driving the Talmud Chacham. So what's pshat? Why is taka that greater than learning? So it says something like this, Vishamati, I heard from the Ishbitzer, the Halimud Harayesh Legvul. Learning means the 49 levels of Torah. Learning means learning this piece of information. And after this piece of information, I have it, finished. Ad kam u'masik, whatever the level of understanding is. Avla shimush, what's shimush? What is the person, when that person is driving the Rosh Hashiva, what's he saying? What's he saying is that I want kol Torah kula. I want the Rabbanu Shalom. That's what he's saying. That's the Shahar Nun. So he says, Hashimush hu acheshek v'ahava sheyesh l'mashamesh. Shemach masay hu mashamesh. Why is he being mashamesh the Rosh Hashiva? Adrab, because he's not learning anything from him while he's driving him around. So why am I driving him around? That's an expression of my bikush, of my searching for Hashem. That's the Shahar Nun. Gadol shimush, yosem l'mashamesh. Limur ha-Torah is 49. But the Shemush, that's an expression of the Shahar Nun. Yeshua ben Nun was chosen to be the next extension of Moshe Rabbeinu because he was Meshamish Moshe. He was Mesader Safsalim. He arranged the Beis Medrash. He embodied what? Wanting Torah and wanting to come close to Hashem. So if there's anyone that's going to fight against the Moloch, it's Yeshua. It's Yeshua. So he says, "Mishtadel v'heikim degel haTorah." That's it's the Meshamesh that really erects the infrastructure from Torah. That's the Shahar Nun. So that ain't like Vul. That's limitless. That's infinite. He's not learning anything particular. What's he doing? He's just expressing his heart. So he wants the whole thing. And that's an expression of the root itself. Ulekach mitzada shimush. Therefore, through the experience of shimush, yesh gamkin bchlolei Shahar Nun. In there is contained the secret of the Shahar Nun, of the 50th gate, hanelam, which is hidden, but it's to a certain degree activated by the mishamish. Umitzedai hunitzuch hamalik, and that's where conquering Amalek comes from. Al kein omer, this is an amazing zach. Al kein omer, Chazal therefore also say, ein Amalek neifel el biadzar shel Rachel, that Amalek falls in the descendants of Rachel Imenu, right? Yeshua comes from Rachel. All those that are able to defeat Amalek have to be Mizara de Rachel, have to come from Rachel Imenu. Why? It says like this, Hainu, Deleia hi hamelidishvat and bepoil. Leia had many children, right? For Rachel, what was the Rachel? Rachel didn't have children. So what was most of her life spent doing? Chamda, the kosva leila, the shvata. She wanted children. So what's greater, actually having the children, right? Or the one that wants the children? Having the children corresponds to the 49 levels of Bina. But wanting, that's the Shahar Nun. That's anti-Amalek. Amalek only fools Biad Zara Shel Rachel. Ubepoil leilid el abeis, avol hachimud v'akisuf, who godol mehezgalas lepoil, is greater than is what actually being revealed. Alkin he nikris akaris abayis. She is the akaris abayis. How is she the akaris abayis? It's because she's the Shahar Nun from which, the Leshem has a Torah like this. Leshem says that all the Shvatim that were born from Leah, on a ruchnis, on a neshama level, had to really travel from Rachel. She's the Ikaris Abayis. And she's the Ikaris Abayis because of her wanting, because the wanting, every neshama has this infrastructure too. There's the deep, there's the branches, there's the infrastructure of the neshama, but then there's the root of the neshama. In order to bring a neshama into the world, right, so there has to be two parts. There has to be the b'payel, but you also have to engage in the root of the neshama. The wanting of the parents to have the child, or the thinking of the the shimush, there's the limud, right? And then there's the shimush. The shimush, the wanting, the kisufin, and so on. That brings the sharish haneshama. And you could have people, you could have a couple, that their avoida is the kisufim and the chemda and so on. For the time being, everyone should have zara shokiyamba b'poil mamish. But for every time being, a person has that avoida of chemda and kisuf. And they are bringing, they're activating sharish haneshamas of other people. Just like with Rachel and Leah, the shorish haneshamas of all the shvatim were being activated by Rachel's kisufim, by Rachel's desires. The actual limbs and structure of the neshamas of Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, and Yud, and so on was brought down by Leah. But the shorish, the shar hanun of their neshamas was from Rachel. So Rachel is the ikaris avayis. So all of them have to look at Rachel as their mother also. This is how Klal Yisrael, right? We look at Rachel as their mother. Leah also. But Rachel is also, Rachel Yemenu is everybody's, right? Because she's the one, through her wanting, brought down the Shar Hanun of these neshamas also. Now he says like this. Now he says, the Gemara says, and we're going to go quickly, we're going to go back to the story of Amalek with women, right? The Gemara says like this, Mibnei Banav Shol Haman, the Gemara says that from the descendants of Haman, there were Tamidei Chacham that come from Haman. Was the example? The Gemara says in Bava Basra that Reb Shmuel Bar Shilas was one of the Amoraim. He was a descendant of Haman. Okay, what's the yichus of Reb Shmuel Bar Shilas? He was an Amoraim, isn't it? But the Gemara says specifically he was Malamdei Tinoikis. He taught school children. Now, school children learn. The learning of school children is an interesting phenomenon, right? Are they chayv in Talmud Torah? No. Do they really understand what they're learning? No. But yet, the whole world is standing on the hevel piyam shel tenegesh v'yisrael. So it's a strange zach, right? The Gemara says that Bayin Rav, they said, what, now Torah is chopped liver? Okay. So what's the pshat? And why is it dafka b'shmul bar shilas? More than that, Rav Tzadik holds this in a few places as a medrash. The medrash says, in Bavli, Yerushalmi, it's not quoted, but it's in the Medrash, and Reb Tzadik holds like this, that we're not Makabal Gerim from Amalek. Every other nation we're Makabal Gerim from. There's a halacha that Amun and Moyav, and you know, there's the limitations of them being able to marry into the fold. But as far as Kabbal's Gerim is concerned, we're Makabal Gerim from everybody except for Amalek. Amalek, we're not Makabal Gerim. So Reb Tzadik holds it's a Medrash like that, but Reb Tzadik holds like that, that's accepted. So Reb Tzadik says, how did it possible that they banished Shal Haman? That's how that happened. So Rasulik says it was with an inus. It was with an intermarriage. So, and from there comes Reb Shmuel Bar Shilas, who's Malam B'Tinoikis, who teaches Torah, who children learn. So says Rasulik, what's the inus of the Torah of children? It's just shemush, that's all it is. Like when the Rebbe is teaching the child, it's just with the intention that Bez Hashem one day you should be able to learn. It's not. The whole inyan is an exercise in shimush, in wanting. That's the whole inyan. Because it's not the thing itself. The kids are not holding by the thing itself. This is not like when the kid learns Elul Metzias in sixth grade. It's not because, okay, after sixth grade, the goal is what? That he should know what Elul Metzias is. That he should be introduced to Gemara and he should have a cheshek for Gemara. Because even if he passes all the tests and he gets 100s, he doesn't know Elul Metzias. It doesn't happen, right? So but that's not the point. It's the whole inyan of Tenegesh V'Yisrabim is Shimush. And therefore, who comes from that's the Shar Hanun of Kedusha, which means the downfall of Amalek. The downfall of Amalek is Mebebana Shal Haman comes Shmuel Bar Shilas, who's Malami Tenegesh. But how did that happen? Not from a Geiris, not from a person converting from Haman. It was because of a woman extracting this spark from Amalek in Isha also. So that's what we're going to see. So it says something like this: V'chein esek halima tar l'tenekes shabes rabbim. This inyan of teaching Torah to tenekes shabes rabbim. Shubatachlus akadnus asechol. We're talking about little children, so we're not holding by sophisticated. So if you're interested in the mem tes sharibina, then you're in the wrong job if you're teaching kids, because they're not going to get the mem tes sharibina. So why are you interested in teaching kids? Because what you're interested in, your shar shanasham, is in the shar nun. And all the your avodas Hashem is oriented by kisufim, by getting people to be excited and wanting. So then you're in the good field of Malam de Tinoikis.
What about the Malam de Tinoikis?
Exactly. That's Mordechai and Esther. Exactly. That's Torah Shebaal Peh. We'll see in a second. The Gam Harav Makdin Sichloi. The Rebbe has to lower his Seichel. As Kfi Erech Haroi Lefi Avonis Talmud to the level of the Talmud. Fu Esek Shalak Adish Baruch Hu. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah. That's what Hashem does. Hashem is Malami Tinoikis in Gan Eden. Why? What do you need Hashem to do that for? Why can't he have other tzaddikim? He doesn't have anyone to help him out. Hashem has to. The answer is Hashem's Torah is the Shara Nun. You understand? That's Hashem's Torah. That's Torah Hashem. It's Hashem's Torah. So only Hashem is Malami Tinoikis. It's all the same thing. So he says, and this is the oimik of it. The ultimate Shara Nun can't be understood. The only way to engage with the Shara Nun is wanting it. Because the ultimate, the highest level of understanding is God's understanding, which is an impossibility. So the only, our shaykhus to God's understanding is just wanting it. That's all, that's the most that you can do anyway. Rak l'mishu b'tachlis ha-shiflis. Shal yodam hu yisayit ha-ter mitat ha-leilah. So ironically, when Malam, so the Torah of Tinekesh B'Srabim, which is just about kisufim, and wanting, and God and shimusha, yoyse milimuda, that becomes the foundation of the whole world, that becomes the foundation of a person's own personal learning. Right, Girsa Diankisa. Right, everything we learn is built on the learning that we did as a child. Why? Because the learning of a child is a Shara Nun, and from there comes the branches of the other 49 levels of Torah. Vu Shara Nun Anel Mikol Birya Ubay Dabo Kasogas Tinagash Vesrabam Shu Asoga Yosef Shuta. And that's the point, because it's not about the understanding; it's about the kisufim, it's about the wanting. Val Kain Vnei Banav Shel Haman Shu Hareishes Goyim. So from Amalek, but not just Amalek, Haman. Of Amalek, kasha niklat bimenu bekedusha, when it's cap, when there's at least an aspect of it that's captured to kedusha, the nas harashis to kedusha, and is now converted from rashis of gaim Amalek to the rashis of kedusha, which is a shara nun shuatzvekis besharish anelam bahalim alatunekes shavis rabin, that produces Shmuel Bar Shilas, who teaches children. Va'akli tohayadei isha, and how did that happen? From an isha, it wasn't from a man from bnei banav shalom and converting. It was kuloi mitzad the isha. Doing this capturing. Why? Just like the defeat of Haman came from an Isha. Esther Amalka, right? Like we saw last week, that all of a sudden all of Tar Shebaal Peh is released and ultimately dependent on Isha. Why? Kino says like this, because now he deals with the stira. Kino Hashem, on the one hand, Ein Lam Shaychas at Divrei Torah. Women don't have a sheikh as a divrei Torah, and befrat Torah Shebaal Peh, like we saw 2 weeks ago. Umi kol makayim, shleimim el chim shalatar l'isha. But yet all of Torah Shebaal Peh, in Shir Shirim and so on, and Eishes Chayil is compared to an isha. So I don't understand. They're not sheikh to Torah Shebaal Peh, but they are sheikh to Torah Shebaal. What's their inyan? So it says, Ratzadei shem gamkin oiskin b'shem usha shal Torah. What is the inyan of an isha? Isha is sheikh to the shorish of Torah, to the root of Torah, to the Shara Nun. Therefore, what's the shaychus of an isha to Torah? So the Gemara says, but noshim b'may zakai, what schus do they have to get to Olam Haba, which is through Torah? The answer is not from their learning, but from the fact that they facilitate their husbands, they facilitate their children. And what happens when the wife sends a husband off to the base manager of the kids of the cheder? What is she thinking to herself? All she's thinking is that he should be matzliach, is kisufim. She's not actually learning, but she's that shimusha shel Torah, that's the shara nun. The inyan of an isha, so what's the relationship of an isha to Torah? Her relationship is that she embodies the Shar Hanun of Torah. What's the Shar Hanun of Torah? Not the learning, but wanting it. The desire, the kisufim for it, which is the root of Torah. He says like this, b'shimush shel Torah legevrayu l'benayu, v'ashimushu mitzad ha-cheshek, ikare v'isha. The main inyan of an isha, the main inyan of cheshek is more by the isha than it is by a zachar. Why? Ki b'ish, yesh b'milu ya-cheshek. Think about it. By an ish, even though a man wants, but he can fulfill his desire by actually sitting to learn, right? Rebbe, I want to learn. So go learn, right? So because you can actually go sit and learn, that means the desire is not, it's not l'shem desire. You understand? That's the point. But the point, the reason why, but because the man desires, but he's able to actualize with actual learning, it means even the desire is not 100% pure Shara Nun. Right, it's to get to the Mem Tes.
Desire is greater than achievement.
That's the point. But the only one that truly has the inyan of desire, l'shem desire, is someone that can never actualize it, that can never fulfill the desire, and that's only an isha. Ratzalik says, even I have to speak blush and sneeze, but the hano of an isha is also with the cheshek, not with the man. The man is not like that. So this, so that's the inyan of an isha. Ki be'ish yesh b'milu yacheshek. A man is the ability to fulfill the desire by actually sitting and learning. So that means even though when he was Isaac in the Cheshek, which is the Shaar Nun, but it wasn't he wasn't completely submerged in it because he was thinking Mem Tes, right? But he says, Mashenkin Beisha, but when it comes to an Isha, She'ein la mi loy raka Cheshek levad, all she has is the Cheshek. Said, Toikif de Kaicha Cheshek. That's the full expression of the Shaar Nun, the Shaar Shay, which is the root of Torah. But Lachin is amazing Zach. Lachin be Yeshua la Molek, when it comes to Yeshua, despite the fact that he was the Meshamesh, and therefore he wages war against Amolek, Nemarak v'yachloish, he could only weaken Amolek. You can't ultimately destroy Amalek. Because ultimately destroying Amalek comes from revealing the full stature, the full strength of Shemesh, of wanting. The koyach zeh be'ish, cholosh. But that koyach by a man, even if Yeshua ben Nun, is weak. And so because of that, he could weaken Amalek. But to overcome Amalek completely, that's only with the full expression of Bikush, which is only Shaykh by Anisha. That's what Tzadik says. So let's go back. So this is what, so we ask the question. So is Tarash Bal Peh Shaykh to Anisha? Now the answer is the Shairish of Tarash Bal Peh Shaykh to Anisha, the Shaar Hanun of Torah. But ironically, that Shaar Hanun, because of the nature of the Shaar Hanun, and to fully unleash the potency of the Shaar Hanun, which is Bikush and Cheshek and Kisufim, they have to be held back from the Memtes gates of wisdom. So because they're held back from the Memtes Sharibina, and they're actually not really supposed to learn Reb Chaim's and Rikvegers, because of that, they can fully immerse themselves in the cheshek of wanting to learn and helping others to learn, the husbands and children and so on, and that itself is the shayrish of Torah, which is the Shaar Hanun. So ultimately, Devaira is unleashing the root of Torah Shebaal Peh. And that's what Noshim do, specifically because of so the halacha of kol melamed bitay Torah, til melamed tiflus. What is tiflus? The Rambam teaches tiflus means hevel. It means something that has what happens when you remove the Shaar Hanun from Torah and all you have is Memtes Sharibina, then the Memtes Sharibina becomes. They don't have the soul. What's the soul? What's the fuel? The fire that invigorates the Memtes Shaar Bina is the Shaar Hanun. If you take away the Shaar Hanun, then the Memtes Shaar Bina become a shell of themselves. They don't have a soul to them. If you're melamed bitoy Tyra, that means that you're lowering the cheshek because you're giving her the ability to express her cheshek to accomplish what she wants. That the kilmam to tiflis, then you're cutting off the valve of the Shaar Hanun to the rest of the Memtes Shaar Bina. Now the Memtes Shaar Bina now tiflis. It's now emptier. It's shallower. And so this is the argument. Let's go back. Remember last week we have just end with this. Oh, it's late. There was a medrash. The medrash said, the Gemara. The Gemara says in Pesachim, right, that the Shiras Devarah said she was talking about. She was talking about the star, right? The stars, right? That was the whole mice over there, that the stars came and heated up the chariots of Sisera, forcing them into the Nachal Kisha, and the Nachal Kisha, and then sent them back to Yamsuf. And Ratzalik said that Indian was Torah Shebaal Peh is the Nachal, is the flowing river. Yamsuf is Torah Shebichsav, and that was the story of the full emergence. So what? Why stars? With stars, Hashem couldn't heat up the of heating them up. That was the trick, to heat them up. I don't know. It's all Nisim anyway. Let an ace happen if the chariots are going through the river. So they have to become heated by stars and they go in. The answer is, what does heat mean? Again, heat means the opposite of Amalek. It means the Shaar Hanun. The Gemara says that it says in Pasuk, Matzdike Harabim Kikachavim, that there's a group of people that they're called Matzdike Harabim, those that perform acts of kindness and charity to the Rabbim, and they shine like the stars. Who are those? Says the Gemara, Malam de Tinoikis. See what's going on over here. The stars came and heated up the chariots, which is of Barzah, which is Bilah, Zilpah, Rachel, and Leah, right? Like we saw last time. So Rachel, Zilpah, Bilah, and Leah. The four Emites. So the stars come, heat up the chariots, and the chariots go into the Nachal Kishon, which is Torah Shebaal Peh, connecting to Torah Shebichsav. That's all the story. These are the players over here. Malam de Tinoikis, Noshim, the fire. That's what's going on over here. And that's what Dvar was about. Okay. The Rabban Shul Shabbos, we should become a Vakshi Hashem and reinvigorate all the Memtes Sharibina with the Kisuvim and the fire of the Shaar Hanun. Yashukayach.